This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What is up? It is one half of your sports bros.
Hi?
Yeah, there's Buck. I guess we could... Should we look, it's a conversation we need to have. Should we take it to thirds?
You know, what do you mean?
Well, the sports bros, I always say one half of the sports, like there are two sports bros.
I mean, you guys are the sports bros, yeah, with like a sidekick sports bro kind
of. But see,
of.
I never put Lynch in the sports bro category because he just isn't a sports bro.
Is he not? He's kind of a sports bro.
Well, he likes his sports, but he's not a bro. Like
Well, I don't know.
You're bro-y.
Bros and cargos? I don't know.
I'd like to include you as a bro, is what I'm saying.
I appreciate extending the invite. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm into that.
I feel like Buckley is a bro, and we loved Lynch. I mean, Lynch was great with us, and we had we love Mike Lynch. We're sorry that he died, but he's less bro-y, more like I felt like he was kind of like my kid.
Okay.
You know? Because I'm that old now.
Well, and yeah.
And you just feel like you're one of the guys. So
okay.
So all that to say, Suk is out sick today.
He is.
So it is not one half of your sports bros. It is 66.67% of your sports bros.
That's correct.
If I may.
Yeah.
If I may. So Ryan Buckley over there, and my name is Isaac. We are courageous here. You know, Suk texted us early, and he said, look, I can't go. I took a cortisone shot. I have some NyQuil, but I can't make it. Actually, he said he was feeling better, but he doesn't have a voice.
Can't talk. Going to be an issue on radio.
Yeah. So he's out, and we press on. The Thanksgiving Eve, Drinksmas, as they like to call it.
Yeah, we soldier forth.
We do.
Drinksmas. I've not heard it called that.
Well, you know, this is like one of the biggest
I know that it's supposed to be like the biggest drinking day of the year, potentially.
Yes. I don't think potentially. I think it
is. Is it?
Yeah. I think it is because...
I specifically remember it being that way in hometowns for, like, college kids who would come home.
Correct.
But, like, I didn't know if, like, across all age groups, if it was still that way.
I think it is because you've got a lot of people who are kicking off a little bit of a vacation here tonight.
Long weekend.
Most everybody is in place getting ready to sit on their ass for tomorrow.
Yep.
Right? And then you're like, well, there's nothing to do, and we don't have anything to do tomorrow except eat, so let's either go out or let's pop another bottle of bubbly, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I do think more, I don't know what the actual stats say in terms of drink consumption in the United States. New Year's Eve, obviously, 4th of July. But I from what I understand, this is one of our biggest.
Yeah.
Because of what you said, people go home and then they're just like, I'm going to go out.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't start this till tomorrow. I can't be around you people for this long. I'm going out. So here we are. We'll probably start pounding drinks in about 3 minutes here on the show.
Do we have a stocked fridge?
Could be a good show tonight. You know, Buck, I failed you.
How's that?
Because as I was leaving my house to come in today, I thought about swiping the bottle of Maker's Mark off the shelf and bringing it in here.
Just because?
Yeah. Well, look, the office is closed.
It is.
No one's here.
Everyone went home at 2.
It's the holiday. There are a lot of people out driving around.
Yeah. People getting places.
But, you know, and Sook's out. So I thought, well, let's loosen this thing up a little bit. Do you like whiskey?
I do.
You're a whiskey guy?
That would be my my number one in the liquor cabinet.
What is the whiskey of choice?
I do like Maker's quite a bit. I'm usually kind of in that on that level or tier, if you will. So like Maker's, Buffalo Trace, Mixon, Larceny. But yeah, some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had my druthers, like High West, really like High West. I know they do a bunch of different varieties, but not a super smoky one, but that's probably my number one.
Yeah, I've tried a lot of whiskeys, and I always go back to Maker's as like just, you know, because you got to have just a drinkable,
right.
You know, just less expensive one. And that's my go-to.
Yeah, John Buckley is a Knob Creek guy. He likes the smokiness of Knob Creek, but I probably prefer more either Maker's or Buffalo Trace.
Mm. Well, I failed. I did not bring that in.
Well, that's okay.
So we'll drink water together tonight.
We will.
On the show.
I even have a little caffeine over here.
What are you drinking?
A Diet Coke.
Now, what will happen at the Buck household for Thanksgiving tomorrow?
Tomorrow, we will go to my mom and stepdad's in Newburgh.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be the three of us, my wife and the kid, and then my wife's parents are also going to go. So it'll be 6 adults and the little kiddo.
Ooh, both sets of in-laws at the same Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, it'll be perfect because there'll be 4 grandparents that all want to take care of the little kid.
Ooh, that's nice.
And my wife and I will just enjoy the food and wine.
Right. Will there be fighting?
No.
Do they hate each other?
Oh, no. No, not at all. Just the opposite.
They secretly hate each other?
No. No, I don't think they do at all.
Because, you know, a lot of people do that.
Do they?
I think they do.
See, I feel like the stigma is more that, like, one of the people in the couple has an issue with one of their in-laws, less the in-laws with each other. I feel like,
you might be right about that because as you get older, you don't care. You're not starting battles. You know, it's like another old person. Great,
yeah,
somebody I can relate to.
But yeah, that's our plan tomorrow. Mom's cooking the turkey. My wife and I baking a couple things tonight to bring over.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
Thanksgiving. What a great holiday. Now here's the real question. This is the big question of Thanksgiving. Now, I heard Dusty and Rusty
mm-hmm.
were ranking the sides as I was driving in.
Ooh.
Which is very important ranking.
Yeah, it is.
And look, if I may, this idea, Danny, of Danny and Dusty fame, who is not on the show today, I don't think.
Danny out with the COVID.
He's got COVID.
Yes.
He hates stuffing.
Yeah.
And because of that, I hate him.
Ooh.
That's a bad take.
I would agree with you. That is a horrible take.
It's a horrible take. Look, first of all, it's all a matter of opinion, I guess.
Sure.
And taste. But my thing about stuffing is, first of all, stuffing is by far the best side. And it's not even
number one with a bullet. It's not close.
It's not close. And if you disagree with that, you should probably keep that to yourself because it's kind of like it's like you think the election was rigged or something, and then you say that, and it exposes you.
I mean, it's like saying puppies aren't cute or something. I mean,
right.
It's like universally understood and liked that, or not just liked, but loved. I mean,
puppies are cute.
Yeah. Okay, you could be the guy that doesn't think so, but like everyone else kind of agrees that it's this way.
And the other thing about stuffing is, can't you make it so many different ways that you... How do you not... Like, that means you dislike basically all the ingredients.
So that was where I was going to go with this next, is that if you think stuffing is bad, then you just haven't had the right stuffing
exactly.
yet. Because they're... I mean, for one, there's the whole in the bird, outside of the bird. I know many people who hate the stuffing from inside the bird. It grosses them out. Fine. There are 10,000 great dressing recipes for right outside that include the bread and the celery and, you know, all the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a really bad... It's just bad.
Yes.
I think it... So they were ranking the sides, and I don't know what they ended up coming up with, but I did want to give a shout-out to deviled eggs. I love deviled eggs. My wife makes great deviled eggs. That is, and it's not necessarily a side. It's more of
an app.
Yeah. But they were talking about that. I think the biggest question about Thanksgiving is, What time do you eat?
Ooh.
What is the perfect sit down to dinner time?
My personal ideal would be mid to late afternoon. Not a dinner time. I think like I would say between 2:30 and 4 is the sweet spot.
Okay.
I mean, you could even go like to up to 4:30, but once you get into 5, for one, people have been eating and drinking for a lot of the day already, and like you get to 5 and that's been going on for 5 hours already. It's just
That's a
grueling meal to get through.
It's a big day.
Yeah, and plus the wind down now with the Sunday night football, and you got to leave some time. Like, even if you're not a big dessert person, the dessert on Thanksgiving is a social thing, so like you've got to leave time for that. And if you're eating too late, everyone's just wiped by the end of it.
Do you think you also have to save time for leftovers for the evening?
It depends. Not necessarily.
I feel like you do.
Because I think there are people that eat late enough, they're like, I'm just going to do the dessert tonight and I'll hit my leftovers tomorrow. But like, we always leave time for seconds and then dessert, less leftovers after the dessert.
So I would go a little earlier than you.
Okay.
I would say
I'm okay with earlier. I just don't want any later than that.
Well, look, every house is different. I would never... look, if I go to your house, I'm eating whenever you guys want to eat.
Of course. That's that. Yeah.
If I go to grandma's house, I'm eating when grandma wants. I get that.
Home team's rules.
If I had to choose, I think 1:30 to 2 p.m. might be the perfect Thanksgiving meal sit down time.
So sit down time, not gathering time?
Sit down time.
Okay.
Let's eat by 2.
Okay.
Let's get to stuff in our faces by 2.
Okay.
I love that. And some people may even eat earlier than that. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think that cocktail hour, like especially if you have multiple parties arriving, you need to leave like an hour buffer there. So yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, like we're showing up between 2 and 2:30 tomorrow, and we'll probably eat around 3:30, 3 or 3:30.
Yeah, I have no problem if you're 1 o'clock to 4.
That's the sweet spot for sure.
I got no problem. Before that, I'm interested. I'm subscribing to your newsletter. Please go on.
I don't really want to go before noon, though.
Tell me more. Yeah, before noon, that's a little...
That's a hard cutoff for me.
Have you had that?
No, but I just wouldn't want to.
I don't know how many people eat before noon.
I wouldn't think many, especially because the turkey usually has to be in there all day.
But again, I'm listening to that. I'm like, oh, okay, we're eating... You know, let's say I come over, I have a Bloody Mary, and then they're like, hey, let's sit down. It's 11 o'clock.
But if that traditionally late afternoon or early evening meal becomes a brunch, I think I'm not liking that very much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, I'm okay with it.
All right.
I've become, as an older guy, everything earlier is great. Like, I totally get why the olds eat at 4 at Red Lobster.
Yeah.
It makes, like today, Kansas, my basketball team was on, and they were playing at 9 a.m. What a freaking delight. 9 a.m. college basketball is great.
Only for you who wasn't working at that hour.
Well, that's true. But I just, and you know those college football games that they play overseas or the NFL games they play overseas? You wake up and they're on at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
I am so down with all of that, and so I could probably be talked into early, before noon Thanksgiving meal. But I think 1 to 4 is good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're eating after that, like you said, you really got to be smart about your pace.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, or that could get ugly.
Yeah,
fantastic. Well, we have no Thanksgiving plans, my wife and I. The kid is spending. He's in college.
Wait, is it important that we address anything beyond stuffing, or is it just that stuffing is king and that is all? Because you brought up the rankings.
I just think stuffing is king and that is all.
Okay, and I'm fine with that.
And, you know, again, all in the eye of the beholder, but I just don't... I was really disappointed to see that Danny Morang, whom I love, and I love his addition to our lineup here on The Fan, he tweeted that stuffing was mid. That's
yeah.
What the kids say.
They yeah, I guess. I haven't worked into my vocab yet.
Yeah. Well, you probably shouldn't.
Okay.
You're old. You're too old.
Okay.
But Nemec nailed it. Let me see if I can... Next break.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Did you see what he said?
I did.
I tell you what, Nemec was flat out pissed about the stuffing take by Morang. Morang probably thought that was just some mundane food tweet. It was not.
See, I don't know. I think deep down Danny knows he was firing off a hot take. I think he knows that stuffing is beloved.
Okay. Well.
Probably because he saw a lot of people talk about how great it was. He's like, you people are crazy.
Well, he triggered a lot of people.
He sure
and
did.
I tell you what, I thought Andrew Nemec of Recruiting with Andrew Nemec here on The Fan, I thought he summed it up best with his reply. So I'll pull that up. But yeah, other than that, sides, look, Thanksgiving meal, turkey, Mike and I talk about this all the time. Rest in peace, Mike Lynch. Turkey's overrated, but the idea of any Thanksgiving, you could line up 10 homes and they all have 10 very different takes on a Thanksgiving meal with different sides and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all delicious when you put it all together on a plate.
Of course, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, why do we need to, you know, argue over sides? But I would say we do draw the line at any sort of slander towards stuffing.
Well, and the other thing, too, is it's like there's the only, even if you didn't like it that much, there's only literally one day a year that you have to tolerate it. It's served no other time. I would be an advocate for having it around Christmas, even in
That's
January,
true.
With, you know, other hearty meals or whatever, but it's one day a year, and it's love. Be
That's
loved.
That's right. Now, do you put, do you go hot sauce on your stuffing?
I don't. I mean, I guess I probably have with leftovers, but not really as part of the meal. Probably more heavy on the pepper. Like yeah. ground pepper.
Mm. We are going, so now this could be either taken as, you know, a lot of people that I've been telling this to, because, you know, that's small talk. It's like, hey, what are you doing for, Thanksgiving? And then I say what I'm doing, and they're like, oh my God, that's great. Oh my God, so jealous. Or you also get the flip side. This is very polarizing. The flip side is people will be like, oh.
Are you being pitied?
A little bit, like, you don't have any family. Like, what do you, what? Like, are you this big of a
people
loser?
People are sad for you?
Maybe so. We're going to the casino. We're going to Alinea Casino.
I knew that was in play, and I don't
Let's
hate
go.
It.
Let's go. It's just my wife and I. The dog will keep us honest, so we have to, the dog will stay home, and so we'll get out of there at a reasonable
there you go.
Time, because we got to let the dog out. And, yeah, no Thanksgiving. I don't even know what we're going to eat, where we're going to eat. We might have a steak at Michael Jordan's.
You can the world is your Thanksgiving oyster.
That's right. And yeah, and I don't need a Thanksgiving meal, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need
yeah to... I mean, that's where I would say, like, you can look for a great individual plate of food that night, that because it's not for a group, you can have whatever you want.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we might go to McDonald's.
You might. That would feel a little anticlimactic to me.
That's probably not what we should do. Get drunk, go through the Taco Bell drive-thru on the way.
Hey, Crunchwrap Supreme.
Well, we press on. Oh, by the way, I just saw a text come over my phone now. Let me tell you what we're doing today. We were going to do Rop in the Bank at 5:30, very popular segment where we make our picks against the spread. We decided before the show, since Suk is out, that we would only do Rop in the Bank for tomorrow. We'll do it on the show today, but for tomorrow's games. And then we'll do bonus Rop in the Bank on Friday. However, I just saw a text from Suk. He has thrown us his picks for the week.
Oh.
So we could do a full-on Rop in the Bank today at 5:30. I feel like that's maybe what we should do, and we can revisit it on Friday. But a lot of people are asking, you know, because a lot of people like to tail Big Suk. You know, Big Suk knows his stuff.
Well, Big Suk's been rolling a little bit this year.
Let me look at he is plus.
He had been. I know that the last couple weeks have been a little bit more even keel.
Yeah, he was 3-3 last week, but he's still up 15 units.
That's plenty good
for the year.
For people
yeah.
to tail.
Yeah.
Enough of a reason to tail.
Well, in a unit, people always ask, what's a unit? We're doing it by units this year. A unit can be anything you want. It's your denomination.
Well, it's based on your budget.
Yeah, it's based on your budget. Yeah, so one unit for a lot of people may be $20. It may be $100. Could be $1,000.
I have a question for you later about one unit plays in the World Cup and whether you might be interested in that.
Okay. I can't wait. I do have some World Cup talk, just a little bit, on today's show in the notes here. But we'll do Rop in the Bank at 5:30. Now that Suk's picks are in, we'll have those, and we'll since we're not here tomorrow, we'll do that then. Let's get started with our poll question. It pertains to college football. We have our NFL Hump Day Roundup at 4. We had another couple of quarterbacks benched in the NFL. We'll get to that. But we'll start with college, and we'll do that. Next, it is 319 on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade?
Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right. Big Soup. He's out sick, conveniently the day before Thanksgiving. It's me, Rob, and our friend, our new producer, permanent producer, Ryan Buckley over there. And no, Mike Lynch did not die.
Yes, hello.
I had a buddy of mine text me, did Mike Lynch die?
Yeah, every now and then when you guys mention that, obviously I know that, and I would imagine that 99% of your listeners do, but for the occasional, I'm passing through town and like, whoa,
yeah.
Did Mike Lynch really die? No, he didn't.
Not dead. As a matter of fact, you can hear his voice still.
Alive, well, thriving.
Blazers pre-halftime post on the radio, wherever they play. I don't know where they play. I wouldn't tell you that. I looked up, so Meringue, here's Meringue's tweet about stuffing. Danny Meringue of Midday fame. He says, quick note ahead of Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter who makes it. Stuffing is overrated. And you've just convinced yourself you like it to make someone else in your life happy. It's very mid. Just stupidity.
Well, and then it's not only yeah. do you not really like it, you're trying to gaslight somebody else.
Right. What? That's the part that it's like, okay,
don't tell me what I'm doing with stuffing. I love it.
That's right. We all really like stuffing. It can be just that simple. Andrew Nimick's reply was fantastic. Best reply of, he got 116 replies on that tweet, by the way. Stuffing, don't mess with stuffing. And Nemec said, I still can't tell if you're exactly Twitter's intended user or the problem with the social platform itself. Good takes mixed with aggressively bad takes begging to be unfollowed. No one knows which way is up or down. Hallelujah, Mr. Nemec. Well said. Here's our poll question today. 1080 The Fan on, conveniently, Twitter. AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 60 years. AAAIAQ.com today. The question is, if Caleb Williams and C.J. Stroud are Heisman finalists, which quarterback should most definitely join them? You have four options. Max Duggan, Bo Nix, Duggan of TCU, by the way. If you haven't seen him play, he's pretty good. Bo Nix of Oregon, Jaden Daniels, LSU, or Stetson Bennett of Georgia. Vote, the only thing we ask, vote hard. I would vote for Bo Nix. And I'm not just trying to be a honk there. Stetson, look, Georgia's undefeated. See, you got two guys who are undefeated, and then you got the other two guys who probably have played better, but they're on teams that have a loss or two losses. LSU in this case has lost twice. I feel like Bo Nix has played better than Stetson Bennett and Max Duggan, even though Stetson Bennett hammered Bo Nix.
Yeah, and I see those. I think I see Duggan and Bennett a lot differently in that when I watch Georgia, I rarely think Bennett's the best player on the field. Like,
right.
And it's not that he's not a good leader and a good quarterback, and he's got them in a position to be the national championship winner, but it's not best team captain, you know? And whereas Duggan, I've seen him have phenomenal games and be the reason that they're winning games, probably more than Bennett, so I might lean more that way. But by that metric, Bo is ahead of both of them for what he means to his team and what he's done. And then, of course, you have the, you know, I don't even know if he's with them anymore, but the whole Rinaldi factor, reclamation project, leaves Auburn, starts anew, and, you know, he's new Bo. It's
a
fun narrative.
Dude, that, it is crazy to think about this. And that was, what, 2 months ago when Nix really didn't play well against Georgia?
Yeah.
They got beat by 46 points, and everybody's like, what are we doing here with this kid? You know, it's bad Bo Nix, and then all the Auburn fans are kind of laughing. And if I would have told you at that time, we're going to have a poll question in 2 months to talk about who joined C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams, which at that time would not have been shocking, on the Heisman podium, none of those names would surprise you. Duggan, you'd be like, wait, what? TCU's having a good year? But Bo Nix? You would have thought that was a joke.
Right.
And here we are. So that, I just think it's amazing that he's even in the conversation. I do also think that some of it comes down to this weekend. I know Georgia only plays Georgia Tech, whatever. I think Stetson Bennett has, you know, he kind of is what he is.
He's a good player. He's a really good quarterback.
He is, and their offense is way better than I think some people give him credit for, just because their defense.
But
usually,
they have some athletic freaks there that are making ridiculous plays a lot of the time.
100%. Daniels, has they play Texas A&M, so not a huge game. He's been good,
and he was really good against Alabama in that win.
Yep. And Duggan, what do they play? Iowa State. So the biggest game is Nix. You know, Nix has another good game if he can. Well, maybe even if he can't run, let's say Oregon still wins, like they beat Utah, they beat Oregon State, and Nix is still hobbled to the point where he's only throwing and can't run. Isn't that even more impressive?
To some degree, a hobbled impressive performance adds to the legend.
Yeah. It's like, wow, like last week, that was a hell of a win, and you can pick apart, you know, the Ty Thompson play, or they should have done this or should have done that, they tried to blow it or whatever. Dude, that was a hell of a win.
It was just a gutsy win.
It was gutsy for him to play, and it was a gutsy W that I think that last year's team loses. So I really feel like if Oregon wins these two games, well, they've already won the Utah game. If they win the Oregon State game and get to the Pac-12 title, considering how they lost to Washington and considering the Bo Nix injury and considering the injuries on the offensive line and considering the defense is just not that great this year, wow, that is amazing. And they still have to beat Oregon State. I'm worried sick about them losing to Oregon State. I think if you're a Beaver fan, you're kind of sitting over there like kind of licking your chops right now. This is... I don't know if Oregon's going to get out of there with a win, but if Nix, to the poll question, if Nix, even if he's banged up and he doesn't run just like he did last week, that's maybe even more impressive. But if he can at least add that run element, I think they have a much better chance. And then if he has a big game, maybe that's the biggest of those four to catapult him into being a Heisman finalist. So vote on Twitter at 1080 the fan. Vote hard. Coming up next, let's take a look at what I think is. I don't know. Is there a better week or weekend in the football year than this week? I love it because it's spread out over several days. And I don't know. There's something about the bowl season. While some bowl games are excellent matchups, others are not. It's just so late. We just sort of, I don't know, it kind of becomes an afterthought because, you know, and then you've got Christmas and we've been waiting forever. I don't know. I feel like college football loses some momentum in December.
Oh, it definitely does.
But right now, it's peak. And because it's all, you know, the college football playoff ranking debates and, you know, can this team make the playoffs still and great matchups and the rivalry matchups. And then you factor in some pretty good Thanksgiving NFL and some Sunday NFL. This might be the best week in football, excluding, you know, maybe NFL playoffs. So let's break it down, talk about a few of the games, and we'll do that next. But first, Buck with SportsCenter. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think this is the best week of football of the year. Man, it's just me. It's just a personal opinion. I just love Thanksgiving week when you got NFL on Friday. You got a bunch of college games NFL on Thursday, a bunch of college games on Friday and Saturday. Then you go back to the NFL on Sunday. It's just great. And we have the time. Most of us have the time off to watch it.
Well, the other thing, too, is it's not just college football. It's almost all rivalry games in college football. So it's like, so they're important. And even if they're not important, they're important to your school because you hate whoever you're playing.
That's right. And so much on the line.
Right. I mean, whether you're contending for a playoff, a league title, or you just hate your rival, there's a reason to be invested in any of them.
Right. And you know what adds to it, too? I was just looking here. Our TVs work in the studio now.
Yeah, they do.
I love this little... The other thing that makes this a great... I was saying football week. A great sports week is just these smattering of college basketball games that are being played in tournaments like the Maui Invitational, and Kansas is at the Bahamas. They played this morning, and all these little tournaments. And you got the PKI stuff, men's and women's, starting tomorrow here in Portland. That'll be on. Some great games, great matchups. That adds to it, too.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think and the fact that basketball specifically seems to embrace those holidays as a chance to put games on at all times of day when basketball seems like it's more typically just an evening sport.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Let's just throw that into time slots where we don't have football.
Right. But we also know people are home and would watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now I'm going to let Potter hijack this segment. He just texted me something and I hadn't really thought about it because I just think there's still a lot of football left. I've tried, and I hope you guys appreciate, I have tried to minimize what if this team does this and this team loses and then this team wins and then that team loses and then they're in the playoff. All these scenarios. On one hand, it's kind of fun to debate. On the other hand, it's obnoxious and we shouldn't do too much of it because we still got to let the games play out and it might just all work out. So I do try to minimize these. However, as it pertains to Oregon, he was just texting me and he said, it's actually not that far-fetched that Oregon gets into the college football playoff.
Hmm. Color me intrigued.
So Georgia, you need Georgia to beat LSU. You got to get LSU out of there.
Of course.
Highly plausible that that happens.
You beat USC and that takes care of that.
Well, you got to beat Oregon State. For this is what I'm saying.
I mean, this is all predicated on Oregon winning the next two.
Right, which I think is going to be very difficult to do. But let's have a little fun on a Wednesday.
So the other dominoes that have to fall.
Yeah. So it's Georgia. They got to win and be in the tournament. He's putting Ohio State and Michigan in. Okay, so even the loser of that one loss, let's just put them in.
Okay.
The only things you would need after that are TCU to lose in the Big 12 championship to Kansas State, which is plausible.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Kansas State is the favorite in that game. And you need Clemson to lose to North Carolina.
Possible.
Very possible.
Yeah.
At that point, Oregon is a Pac-12 champ. Now, they are a two-loss champ, but Alabama is two losses, but they are a non...
And they're not a conference champ.
Champ.
And you already have that conference represented.
And you have TCU with one loss, but they didn't win their league.
Right.
So it's not... I mean, he's right. It's not that far-fetched, man.
That's not that crazy.
No. So you need three things. You need Georgia to knock LSU out, or maybe Texas A&M to beat LSU this week.
Because I'm trying to think of who has the best argument besides Oregon for the number four spot, if all that happens. And it is TCU, I think, because they only have the one loss, but they will have just lost
and they
hadn't and won not their won their league.
That's right. And I think we are vastly underestimating if Oregon beats USC, how big that win is.
Oh, it's going to be, it'd be massive. If USC beats Notre Dame this week.
Exactly. And the win over Oregon State, the people are going to view Oregon so much better if they rattle off the next two.
Oh, yeah.
We're forgetting that part of it. It's like, whoa, or because it's always a what have you done for me lately type of thing. And you look at that and go, TCU just lost, like you said, but they didn't win the championship. So I do feel like the committee favors conference champions, no question. And that would be Oregon over Alabama or TCU. And then, that even leaves room for a team that didn't win their league to get in. And that's the Ohio State Michigan loser.
Right.
So it's not crazy. You need the three things. You need Georgia to beat LSU. You need Clemson to lose to North Carolina. And you need TCU to lose in the Big 12 title game.
Well, we have some things to cheer for, don't we?
Well, if you're a Duck fan, you do. The other thing, well, Ohio State, Michigan, first of all, let's just talk about that game.
Yeah.
How great is that?
Pretty great.
Although something tells me, and this may be a little precursor for wrapping the bank a little bit later.
Uh-oh.
I think Michigan's a little overrated. I think they're overrated because of their schedule.
Now, is also the other big thing, and I don't know the end, is their running back, Blake Corum, is he healthy?
He is not healthy.
Or is he going to play?
That we don't know.
Hmm.
And the Buckeyes are pretty banged up on offense, too.
They are, but Michigan, I don't think they can contend if they don't have him.
The way I view this game is that, first of all, don't think that that game can't be a double-digit game. It was last year. Michigan was just better. One of the teams is just better. The other thing is, I feel like Ohio State's defense, I was looking at some numbers today. Michigan has the number one defense in the country, but they're always very good defensively, but some of that is schedule. Look at their schedule. Ohio State is a top 10 defense, and they have a top 15 run defense. And so I think it comes down to quarterback. When you look at that game, C.J. Stroud against this Michigan kid whose name escapes me, I think that kid's going to have a lot of trouble. Michigan's going to have to run the ball, and if they don't, and Ohio State stops the Michigan run, I think that one could get a little ugly.
It could. It doesn't feel like, it just doesn't really feel like Michigan has really been tested. I mean, I know that they were against Illinois, but they haven't had to.
Who's the best team they've played? Is it Illinois?
Maybe.
I read that they've played 7 of the 35 worst offenses in the country.
Yikes.
7. So, of course, they're ranked number one. And let's take nothing away from Michigan. I don't know. I think that one's poised for Ohio State to come out looking pretty damn good and prove that they are right up there with Georgia.
Yeah, their non-conference schedule was Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Oh, they beat Penn State. Penn State was number 10. That's
so
their best
they win. Have one ranked win?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, see, I feel like Ohio State's going to prove it. And then you have Notre Dame USC. which I don't know what to make of Notre Dame because they lost to Marshall and they lost to Stanford, but they hammered Clemson and they won at North Carolina.
Yeah.
Boy, what does that tell you about the ACC? Dude, that team, the team that lost to Stanford, I want you to remember how bad Stanford is. I'm going to need you to think about that for a second. They are 1-8 in the league, Stanford.
Yep.
The team that lost to them beat the two teams that will be playing in the ACC title game.
Wow.
And they hammered one of them.
Wow.
Clemson. So you, and then USC is weird because, I mean, they're number one in the country in turnovers. They got four more last weekend from DTR.
Yeah.
They almost get plus two turnovers a game. It's like the number is like plus 1.8. It's crazy. They're number one in college football in turnovers, and Caleb Williams is awesome, and the offense is awesome. So it's that game. I don't know, man. I almost feel like every game USC is going to play is going to be just a shootout.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think that Notre Dame was not as bad as we saw early in the year, and they probably aren't quite as good as some of the impressive feats they've pulled off recently. And I don't know what to make of them because their schedule is always so all over the place. But Marcus Freeman's a defensive guy, and if he can slow USC down at all, I think you're going to have a game.
Yeah. Something tells me that'll be a good one.
6-point spread, I think, USC's
favored?
Yeah,
six. And then you have three huge games where ranked teams square off. Now, there is a fourth one, and that's NC State and North Carolina, but who cares about that? Oregon State, Oregon is actually the other one. So you've got Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, USC, and Oregon State, Oregon as the three games where ranked teams are playing each other. And then NC State, North Carolina. And, of course, the Oregon State, Oregon game, which whatever we call it these days, all hinges on, I would think, entirely hinges on the health of Bo Nix.
Yes.
So I don't know how confident we are he'll be better. He should be somewhat better than last week, so we'll see. But it's a great sports weekend, and we have three games tomorrow in the NFL. Buffalo's playing Detroit, which is kind of a fun matchup. Normally the Lions on Thanksgiving, it's like, oh man, we gotta just kind of stomach it. But they get one of the better teams in football, and they've won three in a row, and
the
it's kind of
streaking
like,
Dan Campbell yeah, Lions.
Kind of like I kind of want to watch that.
And these suddenly flailing Bills.
Right. We get Giants Cowboys. Okay. Good game, NFC East. And Patriots Vikings. Weird game, but oddly intriguing. So it's a great week. It's a great week and weekend in football. Now, yesterday I was being made fun of because I was like, Iowa is going to win it all. And no, I'm not talking about basketball. I'm talking about football. Definitive proof that Iowa has a path. Next. It's 3:47 on the Fan. So you're talking about what time you eat for Thanksgiving. Very important decision. What about decorating for Christmas? When do we decorate? Now, I know you're an anti-Christmas before Thanksgiving guy.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't mind if this week people are starting to get stuff up, but what has been kind of chapping me recently is there is a house in my neighborhood that has, like, terrifying werewolf, zombie Halloween decorations that, like, scares people's dogs as they walk by, still hanging up from Halloween,
yeah.
And houses adjacent that have their reindeer and their lights up. And I'm like, I can't have this clashing of universes.
I thought you were going to say the werewolf house has Christmas lights up.
No.
Which would be...
No, they just still have their werewolf up. And yeah. They
but
have
then
their...
other houses have their Christmas lights up.
Like other houses across the street and right next door. It's it's really something.
Mm.
Yeah. As you can tell, we don't have an HOA. I didn't think I wanted to pay into an HOA. Might kick in a couple bucks to change that.
Well, we're going to put up our tree this weekend. I hate to tell you that, but well, actually, maybe even be tomorrow.
No, and that's that. See, I'm good with this weekend. Once the holiday weekend starts, go for it.
But
knock yourself out.
We're a fake tree family now, so we just have to get it out of the garage and put three pieces together, and there you go.
I think we will be in a few years, but probably take the kid out of the tree farm for a couple years first.
I have audio. Yesterday, I was joking about Iowa because they may play in the Big Ten championship. All they have to do is beat Nebraska, and it's going to be the winner of Ohio State, Michigan against Iowa in the Big Ten championship, which is insane. Remember all that crap Iowa got early in the year? And Kirk Ferentz's kid, and they still can't score, but they just play good defense and, I don't know, get turnovers? I don't even know what they do. I don't watch Iowa.
I mean, they've already lost three games. They don't do that much well.
What are they, 7-3?
I think they're 7-3.
Well, you know.
They're okay.
That's not bad. Especially when you can't move the ball.
Conference championship contending good?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Well, anyway, they have a path to the playoff. I told you. This is from Internet.
Hi, my name is Lucy, and this is how Iowa makes it to the playoff. One, Iowa needs to beat Nebraska and then beat Ohio State by 50 in the Big Ten championship game. That's easy. Number two, USC loses twice. That's easy. Number three, the playoff committee decides that they're only counting first half TCU, and now TCU is eliminated. Number four, the entire SEC gets disqualified for voter fraud. That just seems like something they would do to me. Number five, Clemson also gets disqualified for voter fraud. Also seems like something that Clemson would do. Number six, the Pac-12, they just eliminate themselves. I'm not worried about that. They will take care of that on their own. They do it every year. Number seven, the playoff committee decides that they aren't watching offense anymore, and they're only allowed to watch defense, and they have to put Iowa in. And number eight, for good measure, Brian Ferentz gets fired. And with this, we are left with the playoff of Notre Dame. I know, it's unfortunate, but they were going to sneak their way in somehow. Iowa, obviously. Tulane, they were probably going to make it anyways. And then the winner of Army and Navy for patriotism. And I know you're thinking, Lucy, this is impossible. But let me remind you, through God, all things are possible.
See, I love Lucy.
You. Look at Lucy. Look at him dreaming in Iowa. That's great. All we got to do is beat Nebraska. The first thing needs to happen, got to beat Nebraska and beat Ohio State by 50 in the Big Ten title game, and that's easy.
That's the easy part.
I found that delightful.
Good little comedic bit there from Lucy.
I found that delightful. You know, the internet is great. College football internet. Also saw this real quick. Well, we could do this in our hump day roundup too, but we've got, so there are two quarterbacks have been benched,
mm-hmm.
as you predicted, by the way. Was that Stockwatch?
It was buy or sell. Zach Wilson had played his last game as a starter this season. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think. Well, I don't know. They may put him back in there because
Saleh said they're giving him a reset.
Yeah, he used that terminology, which makes me think. Okay, maybe they can. I mean, he is their top draft pick. They may put him back in, but he for now has been benched. And there was another quarterback that was benched, and we now know what the Arizona Cardinals coach did in Mexico City to get fired.
Yeah, we do.
So all of those things we have to talk about in our Hump Day Roundup. So since we're up against it, I guess I'll push this in there too. But I saw there's a bet. Will any Thanksgiving records be broken tomorrow in the three NFL games? And I've got the list. There's six of them on here.
Okay.
I've got the list of the Thanksgiving record-breaking totals.
Okay.
And the juice is on here, by the way.
Mm.
The juice still holds a Thanksgiving record. So will any of those be broken? We'll get to that as well in our NFL Hump Day Roundup, coming up next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.